Good morning, church. As you are seated, take those Bibles, make your way to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Last week we covered verses 1 and 2, and we unpacked the command to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. In view of all that God has done for us, in view of all that Paul had told about in chapters 1 through 11, the only reasonable response that there is to give is to offer God our bodies, our mind, and our will. True commitment and devotion to the Lord results in active ministry for Him. So we cannot truly be sacrificed to Him and yet remain inactive in His work. On the other hand, we cannot be truly successful at His work without being fully and genuinely devoted unto Him. This morning, we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 8. In it, we will see that this passage utterly destroys the notion that a believer can be committed to Christ and yet inactive in ministry. You cannot love the Lord and not fully obey the Lord. You cannot surrender unto the Lord and then not minister for the Lord. True worship cannot be separated from active service. Look at verse number 3. Verse 3 says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every one among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." First of all, notice that this exhortation is directed to everyone among you. Every believer is to work at humility. There is a tendency within us for us to, at times, think too highly of ourselves. There's a tendency within us for us to not only think too highly of ourselves, but to be conceited, prideful, arrogant. There's a tendency, even among believers, that they become puffed up. To be puffed up is to have an excessively high opinion of oneself. There's a tendency to be puffed up. Based upon whatever reason you might think, you might have an excessively high opinion of yourself because of your looks or your abilities. Maybe it's your possession or your wealth. Maybe it's your popularity. Perhaps you have an excessively high view of yourself because of your knowledge or education. Paul makes it very clear that an inflated view of oneself is out of place in the life of a believer. So if you want to keep things into proper perspective, then there are two things that we must always remember. And remembering these two things will help us to have a right mindset. First of all, we're to remember who God is. As we remember who God is, then we can remember who we are. If we truly know who God is, then it shouldn't be too difficult for us to grasp how insignificant we are in comparison to who He is. We have nothing in this world that is good apart from the grace of God. It's all by His grace. And so how can we be anything less than humbly dependent and thankful for the grace of God? And so this verse prohibits pride and arrogance. It prohibits having a boastful, exalted opinion about ourselves. But the implication of this text goes much deeper than just that. What is also prohibited in this text is having too low of an opinion of ourselves. If we only read the first part of the verse, then we might think that we are unworthy or insignificant. But may you know that your significance comes from God. And whatever God assigns unto you is of great value. Now, truth be told, you might not be as significant as you want. You might not be as significant as you hoped you were in your mind. But nonetheless, every believer is significant unto Him and has a value to offer. So it's true that every believer is important to God. Every believer has a role to serve and a position to fill. Every believer is meaningful and significant in the kingdom of God, no matter who that person is. So the reason why we're to walk humbly, the reason why we're to have a sound judgment about ourselves is clearly given to us in this text. Because what we are, what we have, all comes from the grace of God. It is God, according to the text, who has allotted to each a measure of faith. Look at that phrase. In this context, the measure of faith seems to refer to the correct measure of the spiritual gift and its operating features that God sovereignly bestows upon each believer. I'll say that again. That phrase seems to mean the correct measure of the spiritual gift and its operating features that God sovereignly bestows on each and every believer. Which means every child of God receives the exact gift and resources best suited for them to fulfill their role in the church for His glory and for the strengthening of the body. Now, there was many, many years ago, in fact, the decade was in the 1940s, there was an assistant superintendent for the Cincinnati public school system. He wrote a fictitious article. And I think this article kind of helps to illustrate this principle on how every person has a unique and specific role to fill among us. And so if you'll allow me, I'm going to read an excerpt from this fictitious article written back in the 1940s. It's so clear. It's so beautiful. It says this, once upon a time, the animals decided that they should do something meaningful to meet the problems of the new world. And so they organized a school. They adopted an activity curriculum of running, climbing, swimming, and flying. Now, to make it easier to administer the curriculum, all the animals took all the subjects. The duck was excellent at swimming. In fact, the duck was better at swimming than his instructor. But he made only passing grades in flying and was very poor at running. And so since he was slow in running, he had to drop swimming and stay after school to practice running. This caused his webbed feet to be badly worn so that he became only average in swimming. But average was quite acceptable. So nobody worried about that, except for the duck. The rabbit started at the top of his class in running, but developed a nervous twitch in his leg muscles because of so much makeup work in swimming. The squirrel was excellent in climbing, but he encountered constant frustration in flying class because his teacher made him start from the ground instead of starting from the top of the treetop. And so he developed Charlie horses from his overexertion. And so the squirrel only got a C in climbing and a D in running. Now the eagle was the problem child. The eagle was severely disciplined for being a nonconformist. In climbing classes, he beat all the others to the top of the tree, but insisted on doing it his own unique way. So the point of the story is obvious. We should let ducks swim, let eagles fly, which means that we should be the one that God created us to be. We're to use the gifts and the abilities that God has uniquely, by a measure of His grace, extended to each and every one of His children. Like the animals, every believer has their own special but limited set of capabilities. And when we try to operate outside of those capabilities, then it tends to produce within us discouragement. It makes us dejected. We can at times become aggravated or even irritated. Yet we fulfill our calling when we function in accordance to God's sovereign design for each and every one of us. You are uniquely and beautifully made by God the Creator. And for the child of God, God has uniquely and beautifully given you a spiritual gift that is to be used for the furtherance of His glory and the strengthening of the church. Look at verse 4. It says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." So here believers are compared to the human body. The human body has many parts or many members, and no two members serve the same function. And so it is with believers. Believers are many, yet we are one in the body of Christ. And every single believer has a distinct function to be fulfilled. And every single believer is a member of all other believers. So all the believers collectively form one body. And each member's contribution is essential for the health, the growth, and the development of that body of believers. So every believer, from the youngest to the oldest, from the newest or to the most seasoned, every believer has a spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit to minister to the body of Christ. All of us. And so it is the use of that gift that is our God-ordained function in the kingdom of God. And it's because of this reality that there is no room for pride or arrogance. There's no room for thinking too highly of oneself. We do not stand alone in this world. Each believer has a measure of faith given to them by the grace of God so that they can fulfill the task that God has uniquely assigned to each and every one of us. Every believer is needed in order for the church to properly fulfill its task. Every believer is needed to complete, fulfill, or perfect the body of Christ. In fact, our physical bodies, if one of its members should cease to function or function inadequately, we would become handicapped. And so it is with the church. When one of its members, the believers, cease to function in its spiritual giftedness, or functions inadequately, that believer is handicapping the effectiveness of the church. Verse 6 says, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly." So God gifts every person, not just one person, not just a select few individuals within the church. No, every child of God is gifted by the grace of God. And that word gift is the Greek word charisma. It means a very special ability given to an individual. A very special ability given to an individual. I want you to notice that this gift comes from God. It comes from Him. Like salvation, the spiritual gift is given by God and by His grace. So the gift and salvation are both given by the grace of God. Notice that the gift is a spiritual gift, that it is given by the Spirit of God to fulfill spiritual purposes. This gift is given to the believer so that the believer can fulfill their purpose, their ministry in this world. And so, since we have all been uniquely gifted by the grace and the Spirit of God, then we're to use that gift for His glory, for the furtherance of His kingdom, for the strengthening of His church. God does not gift you so that you can just hide it. God does not gift you so that you can ignore the spiritual gift graciously given to you. God does not gift you so that you can just disregard the gracious gift of God. God does not gift you so that you can pick and choose when it's convenient for you to walk in faithfulness and obedience to that gift graciously given. Each child of God has been given a gift, and that gift is to be used for the glory of God, the strengthening of the church. I want you to understand that this command is not simply given to you. This command is given to me about you, which means that we must be humble and recognize our partnership in this process. We must realize how we are interdependent upon one another. We need each other. God graciously gives us gifts so that we can work together cooperatively, collectively, to build up His church. So therefore, we must realize that all gifts and abilities, they come from God. We must understand that not everyone has the same gifts, right? No one has all of the gifts. We must know who we are and what we do best. We must dedicate our gifts to God's service, not for our personal agendas. No, we must be willing to utilize our gift wholeheartedly, not holding anything back in service and devotion unto God. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If service in His serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Please understand that this list of gifts is just merely representative. It's not an exhaustive listing. This list is far from complete on how God uniquely and individually gives us gifts to be used for His glory. So when people identify their own gifts, even when they identify their unique combination of gifts, they should then discover how they can use those gifts for the building and the strengthening of the church. At the same time, we have to realize that not one gift or two gifts can do all the work of the church. Therefore, we are to be thankful for each other. Thankful that others have gifts that are completely different than our own. Gifts that, when are exercised appropriately, will end up working cooperatively for the glory of God. Do you hear the repetition of the message? Every child of God has been graciously given a gift. that is to be used and exercised in faithfulness for the glory of God and the strengthening of the church. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, if you belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ, then God has given you the gift, the ability, the resources that are necessary for you to walk in faithfulness and in service and devotion unto Him. If your gift is in serving, then give yourself wholeheartedly to serving. If your gift is in teaching, then fully give yourself to teaching. If your gift is in being an encourager, then give yourself to encouraging, exhortation, and counseling. If God has gifted you in giving in order to help meet the needs of others in times of crisis, then do so generously and joyfully. If God has equipped you and given you the gift of leadership, man, then take that responsibility seriously and then lead with all diligence and devotion unto God. If God has gifted you with the ability to show mercy and kindness to others, then do so with gladness from the heart. May you never forget all of the gifts would be worthless if those gifts aren't displayed, exercised in love, devotion. Paul reminds us, warns us of this reality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says that if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all of my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrendered my body to be burned, but do not have love, then it profits me nothing. Nothing. In the church, believers' strengths and weaknesses can and should help balance each other out. Each person's ability that is uniquely different than yours helps to compensate for other people's deficiencies. You don't have to be good at all things in service and devotion unto God. You have to be good and excel in the one thing that God has gifted you to do. And you're to walk in faithful obedience to that thing. Now, sometimes God gives individuals multiple gifts that they are highly effective in. And so if that happens to be you, great. Be effective in all of those gifts. If that isn't you, great. Know that God has given you what is appropriate for you. And don't be jealous of other people and their giftedness, because you matter. The church needs you. The church needs you to be faithful in your devotion and your commitment to honor God with who you are and how you live. We place a high expectation on individuals at church that you need to find your place of service. Find the avenue that needs to be in order for you to work out that spiritual gift that God has given you. Sometimes that gift falls within ministries that are already established within the church. If that's the case, then find yourself and plug yourself into those ministries and serve in that capacity. It is beyond, it's been at every church I've ever been a part of, ever been a pastor of, ever been a member of. There is always a lack of workers and volunteers. You shouldn't be surprised The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. I fail to be able to comprehend how this church, made up of so many beautiful, loving, considerate individuals, how even this church can continue to have an ongoing of shortage of people that are willing and interested to teach the Word of God to our children. It makes no sense to me. Beyond me. And yet we find ourselves year after year, semester after semester, saying the same thing over and over again. Amy needs volunteers for equipping you, answers in Genesis. KC needs volunteers, help with sword training on Sunday mornings. It's the same deficiencies that we keep on coming back to time and time again. It gets to the point now where people are afraid of one of them perhaps even approaching them and say, hey, can I talk to you about something? Because it's like, I know what's coming next. But here's the thing. Some of you have a heart for children. Some of you have the ability, because God has gifted you with that, to pour into these children the Word of God. If that is you, then you need to walk in faithfulness and obedience and start serving in that capacity. If that's not your gift, don't volunteer. Stay away from it. Run from it. I'm not kidding. You should be running from that and running to whatever God has gifted you to do. And if you don't understand what that means, if you don't know what that looks like, maybe it doesn't fit in something that's already established in the church. Maybe it's something that needs to be uniquely created so that you can walk in faithful obedience. And that is something that we will do. Uniquely create another opportunity for you to exercise the spiritual gift that God has given to you. But this church needs all of its members to serve in faithful obedience unto God. His word commands us to. So really all we're asking and expecting is just for us to be faithful to what God calls us to do. And if you ever get confused about how long you're supposed to serve, I try to remind you that we serve until we're... Anyone? Yeah. We serve until we're dead. And then actually, we continue to serve. It just looks differently in eternity. You will always serve. So we might as well start getting used to it right now. We must learn that we are all interdependent parts of a larger whole. All parts are important. All parts are necessary. All parts of are of value. All parts matter. So that when we're all exercising our spiritual gifts together, collectively, and cooperatively, together, we can glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ through the preaching, teaching, and proclamation of His Word, and by serving one another in truth, love, and grace. That is the mission of this church. And that is a mission that we will not back down from, that we will not shy away from. That is a mission that we will pursue with all that we have and all that we are. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to know or to discover what that gift is that you have graciously given to us all. And God, help us to walk in faithful obedience unto you. Help every single child of God know that they have been called, commanded, equipped to faithful service and devotion unto you for your glory and for the strengthening of the church. And God, may we never back down from that expectation. May we never soften it and give people an out. God, may we all understand that we are to live a life of full devotion and commitment unto you. So God, we thank you for the grace that you give unto us. We thank you for the grace of salvation. We thank you for the grace of the gift that you have allotted unto each and every one of us. God, help us to not just say that we're thankful. Help us not just to throw out empty words of praise for our thanks, but help us to match our words with our action, with our lives. May we give you our body, give you our mind, give you our will, so that we know that true devotion and commitment will result in a life of service unto you. So, Father, help us. Help us. Help each and every one of your children know what their gift is and serve in their giftedness. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.